Father, we thank you. We give you honor and praise. You are worthy to receive glory. You're worthy to receive honor. You're worthy to receive our praise. For thine, O Lord, is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. All that is in the heaven and the earth is thine, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, Lord, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power, in thy hand is might, in thy hand it is to protect, in thy hand it is to heal, in your hand it is to make great, in thy hand it is to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O Lord, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. Thank you, Father. Now, Lord, as we enter into the word of the Lord today, we declare as always that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be today, and let the Lord be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to pick up where we left off on the power series. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Today will be part 5, I believe, of that series. And we're now focusing on the POWER acronym, P-O-W-E-R. I think we covered P-O and W. Today I want to cover E and R, see how far I can get into that. Now, let's do a quick knowledge check. So what does the POWER acronym stand for, the way we gave it in this lesson? You can put it in the chat room for me. Thank you. POWER, that actually spells power. And we gave an acronym for that. P is for pursuing his presence. O is for obeying his voice. W is for walking in the word and spirit. We cover those. And now today I want to cover E and R. E is for engaging in prayer, and R is for releasing your faith. And so you should have that down now. P-O-W-E-R. Now, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We know that. However, it's according to the power that works in us. So the degree to which his power works in us is, what's going to determine how great things God can do for us, or the, greatness of the things that God can do for us, you might say, will be directly proportional to the power that works in us. So we need to develop this power. Develop the power. Praise the Lord. Develop the power. It is important for us to do that. I want to talk today about engaging in prayer. These are the things that can help us to develop and grow in power. We pursue his presence, relentless pursuit of his presence. I said before that, the power of God was deposited on us once we received the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus said that, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit come upon you. Acts 1 and 8. Also Luke 24:49. Tarry ye until you be endued with power from on high. You see the promise of the Father that I have promised you. So we see that power came with the Holy Spirit. However, it is the presence of God that can activate that power. And even though we have the power, we see that many times it looks like if we are powerless. Because, you know, the more of His presence we have in us or with us, that's what's really going to activate that power. And so we talked about that. We talked about obedience, obeying His word. You know, that was the first commandment, you know, basically. You know, I say, well, do this, but don't do that. And, you know, and they broke it. You know, so, and today, we're still struggling with that obedience. Throughout the scriptures in the Old Testament, God used to tell them, obey my voice, obey my voice. If you obey my voice, you know, you will receive these blessings. And Jesus said the same thing pretty much. John 14 and 21 to 23. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And the person that loves me like that and keeping my commandments shall be loved of my Father. We will come to him and make our abode with him. So a lot of powerful, powerful promises going along with that. Then we talk about walking in the word and the spirit. Nothing like it. You know, the word of God is what's framing, what framed the world. You know, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Well, this same word is also what's framing our lives. We're being washed by the washing of water, by the word, you know, regeneration and so forth. You know, the more we are into the word, the more we're looking like him, thinking like him, acting like him, functioning like him, the more of his word that we have in us. You know, so we've talked about those things. Today, engaging in prayer. Let me say right off the bat that, you know, prayer is more than just asking God for things, you know, material things. That's what some people think that prayer is. Give me this, Father, give me that. Jesus addressed this in Matthew chapter 6. And look, all these things that you're constantly pursuing, your Father already knows that you have the need of these things. And these are the same things that the heathen are pursuing. You know, but for you, you must seek first the kingdom of God. Now, prayer is that connection. Through prayer and the word of God, Holy Spirit brings us into a closer relationship with God. But there is an element, there are different kinds of prayer. As an element, a kind of prayer that I want to talk about today, that without it, you can't have revival. Your soul cannot be revived. Your soul cannot have the power that we're talking about. You know, and it's the prayer of contrition and repentance. Can't have it. You know, the power of God without that. Now, contrition and repentance. Why is this so important? I mean, what does the Bible say about it? You know, this is the ignition, this is the key ignition that will turn or stir or energize and activate spiritual power. This is it right here. You know, we talk about building up ourselves, you know, building up our most holy place. Jude chapter 20 talks about, but ye beloved, building up yourselves, you know, building up your holy faith, yourselves in the Lord, praying the Holy Ghost, and all these things. Prayer, you know, build up your most holy faith. You know, pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, praying in the Holy Ghost is not the building up yourself in the most holy faith. You know, people read it like that, but no, these are all the things that we should be doing. Let's read Jude 20 again. because, you know, people equate that, you know, when you're speaking in tongues, it does edify you. Paul wrote about that. But, you know, the way the scripture is written, it's actually not the way, for the most part, that we interpret it. This scripture says, in Jude chapter 1, just one chapter, and in verse 20, let's read it again together. You know, he says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." That's four different things that he already said there that we should be doing. One, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How do you do that? Two, praying in the Holy Ghost. Three, keep yourselves in the love of God. Four, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus unto eternal life. Now, these things, brother. So it's not just the building up your most holy faith. It's not just praying the Holy Ghost. So all these things that we're talking about in this series to, you know, release, I mean, to energize, you know, that power in us. And praying the Holy Ghost is one of it, but it's not all of it. Now, the scripture invites us to pray without ceasing. Keep on praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. You know, that's prayer all the time. I mean, it's not physically possible to do that 24/7, you know. Because sometimes you'll be eating, but your mind can't be praying. Sometimes you'll be sleeping and your mind will be out of it. You know, so, but what he's saying is you are constantly in that connection zone of prayer. You don't quit. You're always praying. And, you know, we're going to come to what we should really be praying about. But just these scriptures that encourage us to pray. Pray all the time and don't give up. Jesus said that himself. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Men ought always to pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. It's powerful. Don't give up. And Jesus told some stories there to illustrate this don't give up thing. The story of the woman that was constantly going to the judge to ask for the judge to do something for her. And the callous, wicked, uncompassionate judge wouldn't do anything at first. But because the woman was persistent and wouldn't give up and was about to wear this man out, with a constant coming and asking for the same thing, and finally, he said, well, I better do it to get rid of her, you know, otherwise she'll wear me out. And Jesus told this story. And we see the same lesson, you know, elsewhere in the scriptures. You know, we see in the book of Isaiah chapter 62, it talks about we that make mention of the Lord. Say, give him no rest. I have set watchmen, Isaiah 62, verse 6, upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. You know, it said, we shall never hold their peace day or night. That is what the watchmen should be doing. Well, hold their peace. These watchmen are not just people looking, you know, to do or blow a trumpet. No, they're actually watching unto prayer. You know, and these ones, they said, they make mention of the Lord. Said, give him no peace. Keep not silence. You know, give the Lord no rest, rather. Give not silence until he established the thing that you are praying about. And so don't give up. You know, some people say, well, I prayed about that yesterday. If I pray about it today, isn't that an act of unbelief? I've already prayed about it and God already heard me. Well, if that was so, Jesus wouldn't have told us those parables. So no, you know, it's not a sign of unbelief. You know, you can also mingle that prayer with praise. You can mingle that prayer with thanksgiving, you know, and so forth. But you keep on praying until you get it. Don't quit. You keep on praying until you get it. Now, but I want to talk more about, let me also talk about, you know, how we should pray. But we're talking about, you know, prayer. You know, how often we should pray is what I just talked about. We pray all the time. Well, how should you pray? I'm going to talk about how you should pray. And then what we should pray about. You know, so let's talk about how we should pray. Jesus also talked about this in Matthew chapter 6. He said, you know, that when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites and the Pharisees and so forth that use vain repetition, thinking that they will be heard for their many words. Also, they like to stand in the corners in the streets to be seen that they know how to pray. So, they have their reward if you pray like that. If your motive is that someone can know, people can know that you know how to pray, like a powerful prayer, if that's the reason why you pray, the way you pray when people are around, do you pray like that when you're in your closet also, when you're on your own? Do you pray the same way as you pray in public? If you pray in public differently, you know, you're so passionate, you have words that rhyme and everything, you know. And everybody say, wow, powerful, powerful prayer. Yeah. And if that's the reason why we do that, Jesus said, well, you have your reward. You know, and also he talks about vain repetition. What is vain repetition when we're talking about, you know, someone says, well, I already prayed. Why should I pray again? This is a sign of unbelief. No, it's not a sign of unbelief that you should pray again. It's a sign of persistence in prayer. Persistence in prayer is very, very real. And Jesus encouraged it, you know. But vain repetition is, you know, just saying the same thing over and over again as if God didn't hear. In the same prayer. Not tomorrow, but in the same prayer. You know, so that's vain repetition. The prayers, the same prayers. If you come back tomorrow, it's not repetition. You know, we're doing what the scripture says. But within the same prayer session, let's say I'm praying for 10 minutes or 20 minutes, and I just keep saying the same, repeating the same words over and over and over again. You know, and now it's also vain because you're not really expecting God to do anything. You're just going through the motions. That's why it's vain. It doesn't carry any power. And it's not the length of the prayer, you know, that Jesus will answer or God will do anything, you know. It's not the length. It's the substance of the prayer, you know. It's their faith. You know, God is a God of principle. And if we don't do things according to his principle, he's not obligated to do anything. You know, you can pray all you want. If there's no faith there, it's not going to move God, you know. So, but when we pray, the way we should pray is repeating the scriptures back to God, not our own vain repetition that carries no power. Repeat his word, what he already said. That's how we should be praying. Find a scripture that talks about, deals with this thing you want to pray about, and use that scripture. You know, let me put it to you this way, you know. I mean, we really can't. I just want to use human beings. You know, we really can't corner God like that. But yeah, corner him with his own words. Because God is bound to his word. His word is his bond. If he says something, that's it. And remind him. Jesus said so. You know, he said, the Holy Spirit will remind you. And we also need to remind ourselves. And, you know, the book of Isaiah, you know, talks about us reminding God of what God has already said. You know, when you remind him, you bring, you know, he said, look, you know, the what God has said, put me in remembrance, he said, Isaiah 43 and 26. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mightest be justified. What are you declaring? God's word. What are you putting God in remembrance for? What he already said. Not what I said. Yeah, because what I said doesn't mean anything if God didn't say it. You know, I have quoted this Lamentation 3:37 three dozen times, at least on this platform. You know, who is it that saith and it comes to pass when God does not command it? So, you know, so what we are praying is his word, what he already said. So that's it. That's, you know, that's how we pray, you know. And Jesus gave a blueprint, you know, the various things. You come, you engage God as your Father, our Heavenly Father. Jesus was always teaching them that. Our Heavenly Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We start off with worship, start off with adoration, and we tell him how great he is, you know. We pray about the things that are uppermost in God's heart, like thy kingdom come, thy will be done, you know, not, you know, and then you go pray for your needs, pray for God to give you grace for forgiveness, you know, and so on and so forth, you know, and then you wrap it up again. That's just a sample. It doesn't mean that those are the words that we should always be saying. However, I want to talk about an element. Forgive us our sins. That was part of the prayer that Jesus introduced, the pattern. I want to talk about that element today, a prayer of repentance and contrition. And I'm going to tell you why it's so important. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 14, it said, if my people that are called by my name shall do four things. One, humble themselves. Two, pray. Three, seek my face. And four, turn from their wicked ways. Now, all of these things have to do with repentance. Turn is repentance. You know, you're going this way, you turn backwards. That's repentance. Turn from their wicked ways. God is saying that even his people have some wickedness in their hearts. Because according to Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, the heart can be, you know, deceitful and desperately wicked sometimes. And they said, look, if my people who are called by my name, you know, humble themselves, you know. Same thing he says in Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. He said, look, I am the Lord that made heaven and earth and created all these things. You know, what are you going to give me? What is the Lord? What does the Lord want? You know, you bring an offering of money or whatever. He wants your heart. That's what he's saying. Let's read Isaiah 66 together. Say, look, I am the one that made all these things. And seeing that my hands have fashioned all these things, what then are you going to give me? If I needed something, am I going to come to you? I'll just make it. If I need more of it, I'll just make some more. Yeah, that's what he say. You know, Jesus didn't need to carry any money. You know, we don't know that he carried money. In fact, one time it came to him, say, well, you know, are you going to pay taxes or not? That's, you know, but who should pay taxes? The children of the land or the foreigners? They said foreigners. So, well, then the children are free. But so that we don't offend them, well, let's pay some taxes. And is Jesus going to, is he going to bring money out of his pocket, you know, to pay the taxes? No. Just tell Peter where to go get what he needs. You know, now, go to the lake, you know, catch a fish, the first fish you catch has enough money in his mouth to pay for you and me. You know, if I needed anything, would I ask you? No. You know, he doesn't need to ask us. Just make it if he wants to. You know, so, but he said, look, what house are you going to build to me? where is the place of my rest? You want to build me a temple? You want to build me a house? You know, do I really need that? I mean, will the Most High dwell in buildings made with hands? He said, look, all these things have my hand made. And all these things have been from of old. I've made them, you know, saith the Lord. But, he said, this is the man. You see, now, you talk about, you know, what are you going to give me? What are you going to give me? Now, I said, look, this is what I want. I want someone that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. I want that heart of contrition. That's what I want. That's what I want. Jesus told a parable in Luke chapter 18. And why he told that, he said, well, because there were some, you know, that trusted within themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. They said, two men went to pray. One was a Pharisee. And he said, look, I thank you, God, that I'm not as other men are, not even as this publican over here. You know, I fast twice a week. You know, I give alms. I do this. I pray. I do whatever. You know, you could put your own language in there. What is it that we are doing today that we think makes us better than others? I'm not like them bunch. You know, I, you know, believe in this. I believe in that. Those people don't believe. You know, I am this. We are the bride. We are the elect. We are whatever. You know, you can put anything you want in there. And when we go to God and pray like that, well, there was an example of the man that prayed like that. And in fact, Jesus said he prayed with himself. Prayer wasn't going anywhere. He was talking to himself. That prayer, which he thought was talking to God, no, was talking to himself. Pray within himself. Pray with himself. Said, well, I do all these things. God said that. Jesus looked at that prayer and said, I don't know about this one. Then he saw someone else, you know, that was contrite. A prayer of repentance. That's right. And that Jesus said, that one went home justified rather than the other one that was praying within himself. A prayer of repentance. So powerful. You can't have revival that I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. It's precipitated upon the people praying a prayer of repentance. Can't do it. Otherwise, a prayer of boastfulness of our achievements will get nothing from God. You know, the prayer that gets something from God is a prayer of contrition. I'm going to talk about that. You know, Psalm 34 and verse 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save as such as be of a contrite spirit. That's the people that will get his attention. Say, this is the man to whom I will look. God draws near when our heart is broken over sin, you know. And that nearness of God is what brings his power, what brings his presence. We've got to recognize the holiness of God. You know, in Isaiah chapter 6, powerful chapter, talking about the holiness of God. I mean, let's read some of it. The way that the seraphims were describing God, they couldn't find any other words. They just said holy. You know, that's all. You know, and that's all they said. Holy, holy, holy. And they said it three times. Is the Lord. Because they looked for words to use. And they couldn't find any words. Holy. You know, so what one word comes to mind when you think about the Lord? Well, for these seraphims, it was holy. That's all they could think about. You know, and when we come into his presence, unless we recognize the greatness and the depth and the height and the richness and the terribleness, I should even say, of that holiness and how that we are nothing before him, then, you know, we are going to be limited in the demonstration of God's power in our lives. Listen to this. When Isaiah saw and heard how the seraphims were attributing holiness to God, wow. The next thing he says, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm undone. Now that is contrition. Yeah, that's a man, I say, when he compared himself with what the seraphims were saying about God, holy. And he looked at himself and said, I don't think I'm quite there yet. There are some areas of my life, this my mouth. You know, God needs to deal with it. And that's what his presence will also do to us. His presence will bring conviction, not condemnation, no, but conviction. Condemnation drives people away from God. Contrition brings you closer, and, you know, conviction brings you closer. And they say, God, you know, is close to the man of a broken heart. Save as such as be of a contrite spirit. God will draw near. See, draw near with a whole heart of confession. Let us draw near, having our bodies sprinkled. You know, we got to draw near with a full heart of confession. Now, some people make it a practice, you know, of, you know, when they pray, they always say, Father, forgive us our sins, you know, and sometimes it becomes routine. It's a good practice if we really mean it, because God said that these people draw near with me with their lips, but their heart is actually far from me, you know. So just saying as a routine, because we got a template in our head. When we come to God to pray, we must just say a few words of, you know, repent of our sins and so forth. And then we go on. And next day, we're doing the same thing. We're coming back and say, repent of our sins and so on. Now, that's not the one we're talking about. What we're talking about is a soul searching, and, you know, deep down in there, you see something that doesn't align with his holiness. Isaiah saw, he said, look, this area of my life does not align with God's holiness. And he cried out, and God helped him. You know, Holy Ghost branding is what I call that. Tongues of fire from the altar. Touches. That was the area that he was praying for. God will help you in whatever area you are praying for. If Isaiah had said, my ears are stopped, I can't hear from God, then God would have done something to his ears. You know, he prayed about, you know, my tongue. You know, it's unclean. I dwell in the midst of unclean. So what God say? Deal with that tongue. You know, deal with the tongue. So when we are in his presence and the Holy Spirit, you know, also overwhelms us with God's holiness, see, we got to enter into that realm in order for us to recognize, you know, how far we are away from that. When the light of his glory is revealed, just like the illustration I give all the time, when you pull back the curtains and then you see the rays of the sun and then you see all the dust flying around. Yeah, the dust was there the whole time, but it was the rays of the sun that revealed the dust. Now, when that dust in our life is revealed, and yet it will never be revealed unless we bring ourselves to a position of recognition that God's holiness is so much more than us. Got to recognize that. That's what Isaiah did. Say, wow. You know. And God wanted him to experience that. This is how it is. You know, seraphims, this is what they do. They recognize his holiness. Isaiah prayed that prayer and God helped him. Now, if we will pray that prayer, God will help us. You know, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. 1 John 1 and 7. But if we confess our sins, is faithful and just, not only to forgive us, but also to cleanse us. See, that's the thing. You know, real prayer of contrition is not just about, you know, trying to avoid the punishment for sin. No, it's about trying to avoid the nature of sin. You know, that's what we don't want. We want this nature of sin gone. You know, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's actually cleansing. Not just say, okay, yeah, you're pardoned. Your pardon is good, but a new nature is better. Glory to God. A new nature is what he wants. Now, sin will block prayer. And repentance will remove that barrier. That's it. Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 and 2 says, the Lord's ear is not deaf. I cannot hear. His hand is not shutting that he cannot save. Anything that is blocking us is, he says, look, your sin is what's blocking the power of God. You know, he's talking about power here. Isaiah 59 verse 1 is talking about power. Hand to save. That's power. You know, this power of God that we're talking about, how do we get it? How do we release it? Well, I'm telling you here that his hand is not shutting. God's hand represents his power. Isaiah 62 and verse 8, he said, I've sworn by the right hand of my power. Yeah. So his hand represents his power. Yeah. It's not that he can't do these things. He can heal, he can save, he can do miracles and all of this in our midst. Power of God to bring, to change situation. His power is there. He's saying that, you know, and his ears are not deaf to our prayers. The problem is our sins. Iniquities are separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face. But God won't deal with that. We got to, you know, God, you know, won't mix with that. That's what I meant. We got to deal with that first, you know. And this is what is making him not hear. You know, so for us to be able to get that power released in our lives, we got to engage in contrition, you know. And we have to have remorse for the wrong things that we do. Not just casually. It can't just be casual. You know, people who casually pray about things where we have gone wrong. And, you know, it's because we don't recognize the nature of God's holiness. We don't recognize this nature. That's why we're casual, you know, about it. Yeah, it's nothing casual at all about God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, Psalm 66 and verse 18, the Lord will not hear me. Now, hidden sin will weaken prayer. But confessed sin will strengthen our prayer. Praise the Lord. You know, so let's talk about that for a minute. If I regard iniquity in my heart, in other words, you know it, but you don't deal with it, you know, or we just say it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's a killer. It kills, you know, the presence and power of God so quickly. Because people say, well, that doesn't matter. Well, yes, that does matter. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. The thing that you think doesn't matter, you know, it actually does matter. You know, praise the Lord. So, God wants us, you know, to get rid of this nature of sin. You know, and we need to be asking God to help us. If we regard that iniquity or even cover the iniquity, you know, it's not going to work for us. But if we ask the Lord to give us the grace, and the reason we're asking him is because we've recognized his own holiness. You know, in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13 says, whosoever covereth his sin can't have this kind of power, can't even prosper in the things of God. But if you confess and forsake, you know, so forsake is repentance. It's a 180. And we say, well, but I can't do it. Well, that's where the Holy Spirit comes to help us. Philippians 2 and 13 says, even the thought or the willingness to try to do what God wants you to do, it even comes from God himself, along with the ability to carry it out. You know, the mind to want to do it and the ability to actually do it all comes from God. See, this is from God, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But we must ask him to help us, you know. One key point that we're going to pray about today, and we want you to know today, is that repentance, you know, well, sometimes even repentance from dead works, things that, you know, just, you know, waste time, how they redeem the time. Repentance is not optional. It is the portal for effective prayer. Power with God. That's it. Jesus taught the people to pray about it. And that repentance, when we are asking God to forgive our sins, it's also based on you forgiving others. Jesus said, as we forgive others, forgive our sins because we also forgive others. Inasmuch as we also forgive others, we are also asking you to forgive. So what people should actually be praying is the grace to forgive. Because Jesus was so clear about it in many places. Matthew 18, the story of forgiveness. And the servant that wouldn't forgive, even when he himself was forgiving something that was magnitudes more than that. And he said, forgiveness that he initially enjoyed was rescinded, taken away from him, and he was cast into the tormentors. And that's a blocker. That's a tremendous blocker. You know, so unforgiveness is a great blocker, you know, to our prayer. We must pray that God will give us the grace, this heart to forgive. And but the nature of true repentance, you know, is not just saying, I am sorry. No, it's a turning of the heart. God said, if my people shall turn from their wicked ways. Not that if my people shall say, I'm sorry. You can say you are sorry, but you don't turn. My people humble themselves. That right there is also a humble and a contrite spirit. Humble yourself. You know, now it's the same thing about salvation. We cannot be saved, you know, unless we realize that we are a sinner. That's just, it's as simple as that. You can't be, because you say, wow, you know, I'm righteous. I do all these good things. You know, God's going to judge me on my good works versus my bad works. And if I'm on a passing scale, then I make it. I've heard people say that kind of foolishness, you know. But, you know, that's not going to save you. First, you must recognize that you're a sinner. Sinners are the ones that need a savior. Jesus said himself, the Son of Man is not come for the righteous, but to call sinners unto repentance. So if, see, if somebody doesn't realize that they are a sinner, they can never be saved. It's not possible. So they must realize that they are a sinner. And we also, even after we are saved, in order to have more of the release of God's power, we have to recognize areas that are still blocking the power of God in us. Now, once you are a believer and you receive the Holy Spirit, baptized in the body of Christ, God doesn't see you as a sinner anymore. You know, a sinner is, you know, that state is gone. You're no longer that. However, you know, that doesn't mean that, you know, when we do something that is grieve to the Holy Spirit, it's still sin. All unrighteousness is sin. Anytime we do anything that's unrighteous, it's sin. However, God doesn't characterize you as a sinner anymore. You're just a child that has gone astray. You're like a prodigal son or something, you know. But, you know, prodigal son was still a son. You know, God's not going to disown them. You know, the Holy Spirit is going to bring them back. Now, it doesn't mean that once saved, ever saved. No, you must repent of it. But the Holy Spirit, his role is to make sure you repent. That's the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said, I will lose none of them. Well, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to do it. Holy Spirit will make sure he brings you to a place of repentance. He will convict you of that sin. And I truly believe that the Holy Spirit is working on every one of us all the time. Now, If you do not listen to the Holy Spirit, though, you become a child of Belial. You don't want to listen to anything Holy Spirit says. Enough time you do that, Holy Spirit might be grieved. But the role of the Holy Spirit, one of those things is to cleanse us. You know, it's the Holy Spirit is doing washing of water by the word, bringing conviction, showing you, and it will bring you to repentance. The Holy Spirit will always bring people to the cross. Also bring his children of God back to repentance. He will do it. That's what he does. Now, but if we go about, you know, things in our own righteousness, I am rich and increased with goods and I have need of nothing. Well, when you think like that, then Jesus says, you don't know that you are poor, you are wretched, you are miserable, you are blind, you are naked. Yeah, but when you say, Lord, help me, cover me. Yeah, I'm naked, cover me, Lord. You know, the Holy Spirit will go to work, you know. He's the one that's, you know, inspiring your heart in the first place to pray that prayer of contrition. But you must follow through. Now, so that's what the Holy Spirit does. The true nature of repentance is a broken and a contrite spirit or heart. Psalm 51 verse 17. God will not despise. God will never reject genuine contrition. Not just I'm sorry with the lips. But God already said that. As people say with their lips, but their heart is not there. And God already saw that. But genuine contrition, repentance, real repentance must be heartfelt and not superficial. Praise the Lord. The book of Joel, there are many places where you would not even think that God would call out repentance. Well, he called it out. Joel chapter 2 verse 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. And that's repentance. Turn. I'm speaking to his people here. With fasting and with weeping and with mourning. And rend your heart. Not just your garments. Turn to the Lord your God. For he is gracious, merciful, and slow to anger. And of great mercy. And he will repent him of whatever evil. You know. And who knoweth if the Lord will return. You know. And leave a blessing and so forth. You know. So come unto the Lord. You know, on the day of Pentecost also, talking about repentance. Repentance is for everybody. For those that are first coming to the Lord and even for the people of God. On the day of Pentecost, say, look, repent ye therefore and be converted. Let me talk about that also. There can be no salvation. People cannot be saved without repentance, ladies and gentlemen. The same way that we ourselves are now saved by the grace of God, cannot receive anything from God or move further in his power without repentance. Same way people cannot be saved. You tell somebody, you know, you don't get their heart to be repent and just tell them, say a few words and think they are saved. They cannot be saved. There's no way. Nobody can be saved except they repent. They must repent. Repent, therefore, and be converted. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. You've got to repent. Now, that's a message that is lost. Even in the way the preaching of the gospel is today. People just let people say a few words. Just repeat these words after me and you'll be saved. They cannot be saved because their heart is not changed. You know, they can leave that place and you can write their name down that you think they're saved. And no, they cannot be saved. They must repent. We have to make them know that they must repent. And in order for them to repent, they must realize that they are a sinner. And they need a savior. That's the only way. You know, so, you know, come to church and say, hey, come up here, shake my hand, write your book, your name in a register. Hey, you're now a child of God. Welcome you to the house of God. It's no such thing. If you do not, that's why the church is filled with unrepentant people. You know, because people just tell them, oh, just give your life to Christ. What does that mean? You must repent. We got to repent. So repentance is so powerful, you know. And the gospel of repentance and the gospel of salvation has been so watered down. You know, in fact, we use phrases like, accept the Lord as your personal savior and be saved. It's no such thing in the scriptures. by accepting the Lord. You know, you must repent. Believe. Believe requires an action, not just accept. You know, why people just accept and they don't repent? The next day they are back doing the same thing. You know, because they have not repented. You know, we need to take time. You know, God explained it to what's his name, Paul. He said, "Look, you know, people must be turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan, you know, to the power of God, in order for them to receive repentance." You know, repent. You can't do it. If they don't repent, they cannot be saved. You know, so, you know, we need to watch how we tell people, you know, about salvation. Like, they can't be saved. It's not, you know, it's not so much about getting them to say a few words. That's not it. They must repent, because they can say those few words and they'll be right back at where they were. You know, just a moment ago, or yesterday, or the day before, or last week. They must repent. Praise the Lord. You know, so, but when people have genuine repentance, you know, yeah, they can tell the devil when the devil comes, say, been there, done that. That, the one time I was like that, now I am like this. They have repented. If any man be in Christ, they have now repented. They are now a new creature. Devil can't fool them around anymore. But if they didn't repent, they didn't even know what repentance means. We just told them to say a few words. They'll be right back at it. Next time you see them again, tell them to say a few words. They say it again, and they right back at it. They must repent. When they are repenting, then God will do something in them. Glory to God. Praise God. And God has his arms wide open when anybody repents. God doesn't want anybody to perish, but he wants all to come to repentance. A repentance. You got to do it. The prodigal son that went away, he was a son, had to repent. Say, I must return home. That's repentance. Tell my father, I've sinned. I'm not worthy. You have to realize that you have sinned and you are not worthy. The man said, don't worry about it. You are my son. He received him with open arms. You know, but the boy had to repent. He had to come back home. He can't be out there and still be doing the same thing. No, got to go back home. Praise the Lord. You know, thank you, Jesus. So that's repentance. And I say to people, you can't keep going down the wrong way and somehow think magically you will still get there. You're going on a divided highway. You miss the turn. And you just think, well, somehow I will still get to where I'm going. No, you are going on the wrong way. You got to turn back. That's happened to me physically in real life. You know, and the Lord used it to teach me a lesson or help me realize how to preach the gospel better. Going down that wrong path and think that somehow you'll get there. No, you won't get there. You're already lost. And you are on that lost path. You got to turn back. You know, so that's it. That's what repentance is. We must turn. True repentance will produce a change. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, when a man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Something has happened. He has changed. He didn't just say a few words. He has changed. Glory to God. Now, when he has changed, something happens to him. And for him to realize that he needs a change, he has to humble himself. Without humility, nobody can be saved, you know, because they will not even want to repent. I think they don't need to repent, you know. And then the Holy Spirit leads them into a life of renewed obedience. That's right. Now, all of a sudden, God has done some surgery on their heart, and they don't want to do those things anymore. But it starts with repentance, you know, and this is the posture that unlocks the power of God in us. You know, yeah, that's it. Think of what God said in Isaiah 66 and 2. Think of it this way. There is something that draws God. Makes, you know, your prayer irresistible to God. Think of it that way. What kind of prayer becomes irresistible to God? Well, first of all, we know that, you know, people say, well, you know, we'll praise the Lord. Well, if you praise the Lord, Jesus said that these people, you know, praise me with their lips. You know, Isaiah said it and Jesus quoted it. They praise me with their lips, but their heart is not there. So just saying praise the Lord, no. You know, the prayer that draws God is described in Isaiah 66 and 2. He calls it a prayer of contrition, that prayer of repentance. That's it. You can't do it any other way. This is what draws God. Say, this is the man to whom I will look. A man that is contrite, poor, that humbles himself, is contrite, and trembles at my word. When you say it doesn't matter, you are not trembling at his word. And anybody that's saying it doesn't matter about the word of God, you need to repent. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Every word of God is pure. Everyone. That's why the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 and 16, all scripture is, use a singular, put it together. Not all scriptures are. Then if all scriptures are, then you can pick and choose what you want. No. All scripture is. It's a singular. You know, he that keeps everything and offends in one is guilty of all. Say, so, well, who then can be saved? That's what the disciples said. When Jesus was telling them how to be perfect, you just say, wow, man, who then can be saved? You say, well, yeah, with you, it's not possible, but with God. So you got to rely on God. This is not self-reliance. This is not self-righteousness. In fact, Jesus condemned that. He told his parables to those that were self-righteous within themselves and despised others. So that's not, we're not talking about self-righteousness here. We're talking about our true repentance that draws and wants and is hungering after God's holiness. Repentance means you see God's holiness. It's described in Isaiah chapter 6. You see his holiness and you say, my goodness, you know, I am nothing. That's real repentance. That's where the power of God. And when he experienced that, the coals of altars hit the stone, he was a changed man. He brought prophecies about the Christ. He brought all kinds of things. You know, this Isaiah, man, you know, because started with repentance. Repentance starts with you see God's holiness. That's where repentance starts from. You see God's holiness and you see yourself and my goodness, I can't. I'm not even worthy of his presence. I need something. I need a do-over. I need a Holy Ghost makeover. That's right. That's what we all need in our lives. Praise God. Now, humility is necessary with that. We're talking about engaging in prayer and the attitude that we must have. And the prayer that attracts and helps us to develop, you know, and build God's presence and grace and power in our lives. You know, it's a prayer of humility. Humble yourself. Pray. Seek my face and turn. Yeah, those things are important. The grace of God. James chapter 4 verse 6 says, look, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God. You know, the humility will also attract grace. And humility means we come down from our high horse. Stop thinking that you are anything. You are nothing. You know, if any man thinks that he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. We are nothing. Nothing before God. You see his holiness. I am nothing, Lord. I am not. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He just dismissed whatever he thought he was. And he came in the presence of God. That's what the real presence of God does. The real presence of God will expose our own, you know, impurities. Not for condemnation, though. Holy Spirit doesn't do that. He will expose those things for you to cry out like Isaiah. Say, Lord, I need help here. And when you can cry out like that, Holy Ghost, he does what he does best. You know, not only will he bring you in, he will give you the grace to cross over. That's right. You cross over that threshold, you know. And I often say there's a line that we need to cross. And that line goes beyond, I'm sorry. That's not going to cut it. You can say, I'm sorry, but God sees your heart. Are you really sorry? So he knows our hearts. You know, praise God. You can see that the publican's prayer in Luke chapter 18, verses 13 to 14, was a prayer of contrition. It's a prayer of contrition. I said, Lord, he could not even raise his head up, beating upon his chest. I'm sorry, Lord. My life. What have I done? You know, and Jesus looked at the man and said, yeah, that prayer. That's the kind of prayer. You know, so the power of God is released when prayer is mingled with repentance. I can say when prayer means repentance, or repentance means prayer. You know, so repentance, which, you know, when a true repentance is in our prayer, not, you know, let's even get away from dead walks. You know, I say, look, we've gone beyond that. You know, repentance from dead walks, laying on of hands, and all these things. We should go higher. But we're talking about repentance on our own ways, our stubborn ways that don't even allow us to get the experience of God's power in our lives. We need to repent of it. This flesh, our greatest enemy. And we got to put it down. Praise God. Now, returning to God, which is repentance, brings revival. Woo, let's see how Hosea says it. You can't have that without it. Hosea says, come, Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1. Come and let us return. That's repentance. Let us return unto the Lord. That's right. For the Lord hath turned and he will now heal us. He has smitten and he will now bind us. You know, yeah. Sometimes we have to see it like that. You know, that was the way Daniel prayed. You know, powerful prayer. We call it a prayer of supplication. It was powerful. He said, look, Lord, and he put himself right. He didn't say, these people have sinned. He said, no, we have sinned. That's right. You know, and that's why this confusion of faces has come upon us, because you are a holy God. And we are an unclean people. And so this evil came upon us because of our posture and our heart towards you, because you are a righteous God. And then he began to put himself like that, begin to confess his sins of his generation, confess the sins of everybody. And he received a powerful visitation from the angel of the Lord. Powerful. You know, the prayer of repentance draws God's power, cause God's presence. Yeah, but if we don't know how to do it, yeah, we just pray superficial repentance prayer, we'll be right back there. That kind of prayer is a prayer that pours out the heart and allows the Holy Spirit to cleanse the heart out. Now, yeah, let me talk about some practical steps to walking in repentance. Repentance is not just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, you can take these punchlines, some of these punchlines today. Repentance is not a moment. It's a lifestyle. That's right. It's beyond a moment. It's a lifestyle. We turn. Let come and let us return unto the Lord. Come back from the byways and hedges. Return unto the paths of righteousness. Ooh, it's not just talk. It also requires action. Glory to God. It requires a contrite spirit. It requires also be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is telling you, see, I told you not to do that. I told you not to say that. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. That does not represent Christ. That does not reflect Christ. The Holy Spirit is telling you that. It's intended to break you down. Break you down. The broken vessel is the one that God needs. Glory to God. Broken in his presence. That's what Isaiah was. So completely broken. I saw the presence of God and say, ah, my goodness, I'm finished. But not finished in the sense that he ran away from God. Finished in the sense that he ran to God. See, that's the difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation will cause you to run away from God. The devil say, well, God can't help you. Sure, God can help you. And God will help you. But you must repent. You must turn to God. We stay sensitive in the spirit. You know, we must have that daily examination. You know, Psalm 139, you know, verses 23 or 24 talks about that, you know, have that daily examination. We can't let anything linger in there. You got to examine that thing there. See, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, Lord, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any. You got to be willing, you know, let the Lord, Holy Spirit, shine that flashlight in there. Yeah. You know, we got to be willing. Any wicked thing in me, anything at all, lead me in the way everlasting. You know, that's something, it's a daily thing that we must do, you know. And we have to watch our atmosphere as well. The prayer, a kind of prayer that, you know, attracts the presence of God. It's a prayer of purity. You know, it's a prayer of purity. Now, having said all of this, the result that we get, you know, is mercy. You know, Proverbs chapter 28 will tell you that mercy will come for the preserved. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh it, you know, that's a prayer of contrition, confession, and repentance, shall have mercy. That's okay. Praise the Lord. And then something happens after that. Forgiveness. Well, it's after that repentance. Forgiveness is born from repentance. Something happens. What is it that happens? Well, it's a blessedness. There's a blessedness that happens. Psalm 32 talks about it. He said, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Whose sin is covered. He's not the one that covered his sin. If he covered it, he won't prosper. But when God said, no, your sin are obliterated, it's over. Don't worry about it. When the father opened his arms, the young man was saying, I'm not worthy. I've done this. I've done that. Make me like one of his sons. The man said, no, you are my son. Yeah. Blessed is the man. And this young man, he was blessed. He was even promoted, you know, because he repented, came back to the father, you know. And blessed is the man whose transgression is covered, whose sin, transgression is forgiven, his sin is covered by the Lord, by the blood of Jesus. Not because he swept it under the rug, no. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputed not iniquity. But there is no guile. There's no deceivableness in the man's heart. It's pure. Remember, you know, Hebrews 4 and 12, 13. All things are open before him with whom we have to do. We're already naked before him. Might as well come clean. Praise the Lord. That's what he's saying. You know, you might as well come clean and ask for his help. You know, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do anyway. Praise God. So let's wrap this up so that we can pray. You know, prayer, engaging in prayer will build spiritual strength. Prayer also awakens, you know, this power that is there, but it's dormant. But it's got to be the right kind of prayer. You know, It's the right kind of prayer that will release this power, dynamic power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We must apply prayer daily in our lives. And then sometimes we need to pray. We can pray more in the spirit too. Pray the spirit. Set moments of prayer. You know, in the early church, they had it. Daniel had it. And the time of prayer came. You know, there was a commandment that from the people that were trying to entrap him. You know, they got the king to sign a commandment to the Lord that nobody should pray, nobody should do this and that, except to you. Well, when the time of prayer came, as his manner was, he did the same thing. He didn't care. Said a prayer. Peter and John were going to the temple in the hour of prayer. That's when they healed that man. They said, silver and gold have I not. It was an hour of prayer. And we can set an hour of prayer. Set the prayer. Make prayer a business in your heart. You know. So today, our declaration is going to be, Lord, help me to engage in prayer. And a prayer of repentance. True repentance. So that the power of God may be stirred up within me. That's right. That's our declaration. I want to put it in the chat room. A declaration is, Lord, engage. I help me engage in prayer. A prayer of contrition and true repentance. So that the power of God stirred up within me. That's it. And remember, we're on the topic of according to the power that dwells in you. And we are looking for ways to increase this power. I've talked about pursuing his presence. That's the P. O is obeying his voice. And the word, you know. W is walking in the word and the spirit. Yeah, that's what helps us to look more like him. Today, now we've been talking about engaging in prayer. Next, by the grace of God, I will cover the R. Not today. Time is fast spent now. I'll cover the R, which is releasing your faith. After you have done all, then you must release your faith. And people don't know how to release their faith. And God, you know, answering the faith, not just the words or the prayer, but the faith. See, faith is the substance. You know, faith is so powerful. You know, I'll be talking more about that tomorrow by the grace of God. Of all the things that Jesus could say when he was talking about, look, when you are praying, keep on praying, and God will answer you speedily and all of that. In Luke chapter 18, of all anything that he could have said, when the Son of Man finally shows up, will he find you still at the point of faith? Luke chapter 18 and verse 8. When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith? Faith is so important. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Can't do it. You know, so all these things work together, though. We'll be talking about releasing your faith. Right now, I want to lead us in a session of prayer. But I want to take a moment. I got to do what I said to do. You know, Jesus said, if you teach men so, and you yourself don't do it, you'll be the least in the kingdom. I don't want to be the least in the kingdom. You know, so I'm going to take a moment and type this thing in the chat room that I said that you should do. Lord, help me to engage, you know, in prayer. And let me see if I can type and talk at the same time. You know, engage in prayer. That's right. And it has to be, you know, a prayer of repentance, you know, a prayer of contrition. My heart, you know, always being contrite before the Lord, you know, so that the power of God might be released even more mightily in me. So that the power of God, I'm typing this out, that the power of God might be more mightily released in me. That's right. This is the prayer. And I want everybody to pray that prayer, you know, and we're going to pray together now, you know, realizing God's holiness is true, is where true repentance starts. You know, God is holy, the Bible says, you know, and he calls us holy too, you know. Even God even talks about children that are born by godly parents, that they are holy. Else are your children. Your children are holy, said. Then, you know, if the children of ordinary people are holy just because those people love the Lord, what about the children of God? You are holy. But you got to maintain that holiness. Everything about our responsibility in working with God is maintenance. God's already done it. Keep my words means maintain it. Guard it. He already given to you. Keep the peace means he already given us peace, but we have to keep it. You know, and we got to maintain that holiness. God's already imputed that holiness upon us. But we got to, you know, pursue it, walk in it, and maintain it through a life of prayer like that. Praise the Lord. You know, so Lord, help me to engage in prayer so the power, that power may be made, released in me. So that's our prayer. And I want everybody, you know, that's got to be your declaration. And after we pray that prayer, we will declare it. You know, Isaiah prayed the prayers and then he declared, said, well, my tongue is now. So he prayed in chapter 6 that God should take away that filthiness from his tongue. By the time he got to chapter 50, verse 4, he now says, you know, my tongue is now the tongue of a learned. You know, God, the Holy Spirit made that tongue over. I now know how to release a word for everyone that is weary. You know, my doctrine is now dropping like God wants it. See, first you pray the prayer, then you make the declaration. Glory to God. So our prayer today is, Lord, you know, let the power of God be stirred up in me through a prayer, a daily walking in contrition and repentance. Repentance is not just, oh, I did some evil work. No, it's, you know, my way is short of his holiness. That's repentance that I'm talking about. You know, you see the holiness of God and you see that you are falling short of it. That's the repentance that I'm talking about. Praise God. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. As we have received the word of God, help every one of us who have received it in spirit and in truth as the word of God and not the word of a man. I pray, Lord, for the grace to have a contrite spirit, a contrite heart. Rend your hearts, the Lord said, not just your garments. Father, I pray, Lord, help me to engage in a life of prayer, this kind of prayer, that will see and desire and adore the holiness of God. Because what we see, what we adore in him is what we can become. Help me, Lord, to become holiness unto the Lord. That's right. For Christ was made sin for us that we may be made righteousness of God in him. Oh, Lord, I want to be the righteousness of God in you. I want to be holiness unto the Lord. I pray that the power of God will be stirred up in me daily. And my brothers and sisters, you pray in this prayer as we pursue God's holiness. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man will see the Lord. Lord, I pray that we will truly walk in this holiness. Holiness unto the Lord. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. When we see this holiness, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will help us as we recognize that we are falling short, that God will give us the grace, and the grace to remain contrite before the Lord. Contrite before the Lord at all times, in the name of Jesus. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father. As I pray this prayer for myself, I pray it also for my brethren, my brothers and sisters. Help us, according to Hebrews 12 and 14, to follow peace and holiness, that which no man shall see the Lord. And we know the Holy Spirit will help us. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.